First this morning. No. I don't know. Let's hope it's not the ramblings of Danny this morning, but it's like one was another topic at the end of the week. I just found myself in a coffee conversation with a man.
The glory of God.
And you come to that simple conclusion. Life's pretty easy. Just love people. Right? That was our conclusion. Maybe not easy. So I want to start there with a reminder of how to do that. But then I want to transition to election nonsense. And tell you it's going to be okay.
I take that thought captive.
And tell you it's going to be okay. All right, it's going to be okay. So here's my anchor verse. Dar, here's my anchor verse.
Were you being too loud?
A little bit.
Okay.
Ephesians 2:4. And then we'll layer on top of it. I'm just going to read the first half of it. Because it's a small verse, and it's you can miss it.
Ephesians 2:4.
You can easily miss it. It's got enough in it to for you to go walk out the door and go change the world. Right? It's that powerful. And there's a couple of words. We'll look at each of them. But starts this way. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us. And I'll pause there. Because it's just too cool, the but God. But God. Because it's like, by the way, go home sometime. Get on Google. Get on your favorite Bible app. Look for all the but gods. Come on. There's a lot of them. Because it's probably one of the most redemptive phrases in the world, right? Right? The same Jesus was crucified. But God. We were dead in our trespasses, dead in our sin, lost. But God. We were lost. We have no hope. But God.
Interesting. Typically in our society, when you're talking, you say, but, it's usually an excuse or a negative.
How about this? And maybe you got some. We were sick.
But God.
We were afraid.
But God.
We were hurting.
But God.
We were depressed. But God. Yeah. And you got one in your head? But God. It's like, look, we just laid out a bunch of them right there. Walk the streets. Everybody you find's in one of those buckets. So it's like, but God is like great news. It's like good news. It's like the best news. It's gospel. But God. It's supernatural. How about this? It means, but God means heaven gets the last word.
God wins.
Think about that. Heaven gets the last word. That's but God. That's but God. No matter how bad things are. Psalm says this, 73:26, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. He gets the last word. Next part of this one, which says he's, but God, being rich in mercy. we could, Angel could teach on mercy and grace. Because they're both, they're not easy definitions, are they? But they're, you right? Crime scene guys are in the room and they pull the God's, you know, the DNA. Heaven was here, right? You're like, whoa, love was in the room. you pull back the DNA strand of love and mercy and grace are like in the DNA strand. It's just intertwined with this expression of love, right? Grace. Sometimes the quickest answer we say it's, you know, getting something I don't deserve. But it's kind of a cheap answer, but, you know, it's when you think of it just as this love gift, right? Because grace, it's like, hey, despite my, I don't know, my status, my, maybe I'm in a good place right now, maybe I'm in a bad place. Maybe I'm making good choices, maybe I'm making bad choices, right? Despite that, heaven, the Father, his promise is to move you to wholeness. Would you say that, right? You would agree with that? His promise is to make you whole. And so grace is like this power move. It's like this gift. It's like, did I earn it? Nope. Did I do anything for it? Nope. It's like he's so committed to moving you to your home. Now, can I resist it? Yep. Can I fight it? Yep. Can I run the other way? Yep. But I, as much as it depends on the Father, right? Heaven's moving, and grace is like this pop, the gas that goes, that's helping you transition to your healing, to your wholeness, and heaven's he's continuing to release this all around me. It is amazing grace. And mercy, it's like this constant forgiveness. It's like ongoing compassion. It's like the, well, his grace is like moving you. It's like mercy's giving you a hug and patting you on the back, nursing you, right? He abounds in compassion towards us. And I think the probably one of the biggest keys for us is to learn that heaven, God has this, all this an abundant supply for us. Abundant supply. In fact, sometimes I think we go around, you know, we get stuck thinking, why are you so good to me? I don't deserve this. You know, we disqualify ourselves. You don't know what I did. Or I made a bunch of dumb choices. How can you accept someone like me? Paul gives the answer for the next few words of this verse. But God, okay, last word, he's being rich in mercy because of his great love. It's like, but sometimes we have trouble accepting his grace and his mercy, his compassion, because we just haven't grasped this, the great love that God has for us, right? Why did he send Jesus to rescue me? Why isn't he counting my sins against me? Paul says, because of his great love. Why? So how about this? What? Wow, the other day I'm going to work and I get to the office and I must have been on the phone with Katie and she said, did you see the sunrise this morning? It's a couple days ago. It was, in fact, I called Darla and I was like, oh man, you missed it. It was, right? Why did God give us that sunrise? Because he loves you. What? Like, you know, we were, Darla and I were talking about the flowers on the table yesterday, these daisies, you know, and it's like, why? They're cool. There's this green center that turns yellow because he loves you. Why? Why Adam and Eve? Why did he create them? Because he his great love.
Yeah.
Why did he give us free will?
Because he loved us.
Because of his great love.
Yeah.
And I mean, it cost them everything to fix our mistakes, right? God's never going to make you jump through hoops to earn his love. All right? He's not going to love you anymore if you're preaching on a Sunday morning than if you're sitting in the bar on a Sunday morning. Hey, that'll hurt your head.
Mm-hmm.
Did mine for a lot of years. I was convinced, you know, if I wanted more of that and wanted to be loved like that, then I better be down at the church. He's not going to love you any less if you fail. That's a tough one to get your head around.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do to make him love you more. But the good part is there's nothing you can do to make him love you less. And his scripture tells us it endures forever. His great love endures forever. Here's, because of his great love, here's one more and I'll shift here. There's a couple of words in the New Testament that are translated great. One is, they're Greek words. One is megas, M-E-G-A-S. Which means big, right? Mega. The other is polys, P-O-L-Y-S, which means many. Okay. It's the latter word that's used here because of his great love, right? So God's love isn't narrow, one-dimensional. It's not one flavor vanilla love. Right? It's multifaceted. It's many-sided. It has all the colors of the rainbow. It's 31 flavor beyond. It's just, so the way he loves, the way Dion needs to be loved might be different than the way you need to be loved. Or you need to be loved. And God knows that what flavor you need.
Right.
I thought that was a kind of a cool thing. It's like he said all the words in a dictionary kind of love.
Yeah.
I mean, there's in fact, I don't think there's enough words in our dictionary to describe the kinds of love, the multifaceted, great, mini love of heaven, right? So why does he have so much grace and mercy for you? Because of mega love, poly love, great love. Right?
Maybe because he has something good for us and we can't see it right now.
Come on, Dave.
Can't see it all right
you
now.
You know.
When I see that picture.
So that was my Friday conversation.
That's awesome.
With this man. It's great love. Because, but God, it's like, I just want to love this way. I want to know this love. Maybe that's your today. I just need to know that love. And then you make the mistake of turning on the TV.
Yeah.
Right? Or you're reading the news. And maybe it's your flavor of news that you like and it's good reporting. I'm not making a statement about that. But, you know, it looks like turmoil everywhere. I'm watching... You know, watching all these election things, and I'm watching this people just tear each other down. It's disheartening. It just makes my heart break when I watch this. And by the way, there's enough on every side. There's enough on every side. It's just like it's traumatic the way it's so aggressive and vulgar and hateful and unloving in its expression. All over. There's I'm peanut butter spreading it over everybody. Right? And I was thinking about this thought of honor.
Yeah.
Right? And I've loved, and someday I'll talk some more on honor because I love the way Hale Danny Silk talks about it. I like the way how people like Paul Van Waring talk about humility, which leads to honor, right? Oh, sorry, I just had this thick memory in my head. One of my favorite clips on humility is Barney Fife. It's this Andy Griffith line where, maybe I'll play it lunchtime. I'm a humble man from a humble home.
Yeah.
And all choked up with humility and, right? But so I thought, okay, what does it mean to be humble? If that's what leads to honor. And there's probably a better definition, but true humility, I would tell you, is I'm agreeing with what God says about me.
Esteeming myself in accordance with the truth.
Right.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Esteeming myself in accordance with the truth.
True humility is like, here's what he says about me. This came a little into my conversation with this man about how he saw himself in a few years. Because it's, you know, sometimes, you ever been in a church setting or another believer, and it's like, or a sports setting, oh, it's not me, it's him. I was trying to go. Mm-hmm. Like, no, he put a gift in you, celebrate it. It's not me, it's all about Jesus. I get what you're sort of maybe trying to say, but it's like, it's really a junky way of thinking that's being humble, right? It's like, this may mess with your theology a little bit, but you're not God's servant. You're royalty. He calls you royal son. Mm-hmm. He calls you royal daughter of his kingdom.
Yeah.
Right? You know one reason you can't honor God by being a slave? Because scripture tells us a slave doesn't know what his master is doing.
True.
Slave doesn't know what his master is doing. But what does he say about us? Hey, you're family. You're my sons and daughters. You get the inside track with Dad. You know what my goals are. You know what my hopes and desires are. You know what my charge is to you. You know what you're an ambassador of, right? A slave doesn't inherit the business. We inherit everything, right? We're not slaves. The sons and daughters know their father's heart. Sons and daughters understand humility because they know what Dad says about them. And there's a confidence that they know this is true. Right? You walk in confidence and authority, stuff happens. Right? But God.
Yeah.
Heaven moves. That's what you were watching on that video. The Finger of God video on Tuesday night, the ladies mm-hmm. were watching it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's what's happening. I know what he said. I get to pray this way. I know what his promise is. Okay, God, I'm going to pray that way. Right? So we're sons and daughters. We're co-heirs with Christ. And as servants, we serve mankind, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So true humility is agreeing with all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's agreeing with this new nature. Because what's happening? I asked you, when you said yes to Jesus, did all of a sudden, oh, new nature's here, I got it. No, I got all this old nature still in me, and I'm having to learn new nature. I'm having to not think old, think new, right? So as time goes on, I'm getting better at thinking new and getting better tools and better experiences. I'm listening to testimonies that line up with, wow, the power of walking in my new nature, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what humility is. And true humility leads to honor, right? So Jesus set the standard. Jesus set the kingdom standard. And he says, hey, sons and daughters, this is how I need you to move in this kingdom standard. This is, and this, because this is what my Father has shown us. So I'd like to read it, because Jesus did a pretty good way of presenting this to us. I'm going to read it out of the mirror. I typed it out here, but I'm reading it out of the mirror. Philippians 2, 5 through 9. The way Jesus saw himself, chapter 2, verse 5, the way Jesus saw himself is the only valid way to see yourself. The way Jesus saw himself is the only valid way to see yourself. Verse 6, his being God, equal in form and likeness, was official. His sonship did not steal the limelight from his father. It's not me. It's him. Oh. His sonship did not steal the limelight from his father. Neither did his humanity distract from the deity of God. Verse 7. His mission, however, was not to prove his deity, but to embrace our humanity. Emptied of his reputation as God, he fully embraced our physical human form. Born in our resemblance, he identified himself as a servant of the human race. His love enslaved him to us. Verse 8. And we have the drama of the cross in context. The man Jesus Christ, who is fully God, becomes fully man to the extent of willingly dying humanity's death at the hands of his own creation. He embraced the curse and shame of the lowest kind in dying a criminal's death. From this place of utter humiliation, God exalted him to the highest rank. God graced Jesus with the name that is far above, as well as equally representative of every other name. Philippians 2, 5 through 9. Paul Van Waring wrote this book on What on Earth is Glory. I steal from it a lot when I talk to you about, you know, how we reflect his glory, we carry his glory. When I talk about how it reveals him, this thing that's, you know, we're, this glory is this revealer of his character and nature of the Father. Right? That's why we can, oh, so when I'm walking in true humility, agreeing with what he says about me, carrying this authority that's agreeing with what he says, and I walk in this, right, and moving in that way, it's like, wow, I'm bringing a glory because what's happening? It's all pointing back to
right,
you.
Right, it demonstrates right? him.
So, in his book, What on Earth is Glory, Paul wrote this, Paul Van Waring, he said, in order to receive the full measure of grace needed by sinners, Christ had to identify with us completely. To identify with those dead in sin, he had to die. And because he identified with us fully, his death became our death. Right? That's what it said, right? One died for all, therefore all died. Right? At the cross, we're no longer dead in our sin, we're dead in Christ. And because we died with him, we rose with him when his father raised him from the dead. Right? So I'm going to go back and hook that to our opening verse, Ephesians 2, 4 through 7. Right? 2, 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you've been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Right? Christ goes from the lowest place of humility to the highest place of honor. Right? Oh, by the way, and because of grace, he took us with him, right? He elevates us to a position, right? Here we go, We were created to hold. We were destined to hold that position. In his image, created to reign in that position, right? What position? Sons and daughters of the king, okay? Right? So here's my election closing. A son doesn't need to compete, criticize, or tear other people down in order to be significant.
So good.
Got it? Sons know who they are, and daughters, sons and daughters know who they are, and they know who they're not. Right? And they work from this place of rest in the Father's embrace. Right? They're abiding, they're remaining in his love. Right? Hebrews tells us this. We don't want to please God, you please him by that, by faith, by resting in that. That's how we please him. Right? And that faith is demonstrated when we believe what God says about us. That's how you demonstrate faith. Okay? Right? So when we finally see our true identity in him, right? It's like, uh-oh, magic key, I can see you.
Yeah.
When I can see my true identity in him, I can see yours. Mm-hmm. Usually what I'm doing to feel better about myself is take from you. I gotta knock you down so I feel better about myself. But when I know who I am, all of a sudden it's like, oh my goodness, that's who you are. Oh, now I can, instead of like taking, right?
What if the you are, what if they don't follow God?
that is not part of the equation. Not part of the equation. Because I don't require you. Who's filling my love tank?
Jesus.
He is. So if I'm going, so as long as I'm secure in this relationship, so it's like love tank's being filled this way, right? When it's not being filled this way, get that away. My love tank's empty. Where am I going to get it? I'm going to take it from you.
Right. Exactly.
I'm gonna take from you to make me feel better.
Sure.
Right? See what I just did?
Right.
So I'm going to tear you all to make me feel better. But when my love tank's full, I don't have to do that. All of a sudden, I can love this way. So you're getting it or not isn't part of the equation.
Mm.
It's not part of it. Not part of the equation at all, okay?
Okay.
Right? Because look, when we can see ourselves that way, and I can acknowledge you that way, all of a sudden it's like, new creation viewpoint, right? So now what am I saying? Oh, there's glory in you. You were designed to reflect him. You were now I ought to be like going, oh man, I beat that guy up. I gossiped about him, and he's got God's glory. Oh my God! I hope you think that way.
Right.
Oh God, make us think that way. Help us think that way. Right. So here are a couple of thoughts as you turn on your news. Just stop this, right? The fate of the kingdom of God does not depend on political contests.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Truth nut. Slam. The fate of the kingdom of God does not depend on a political contest. Period.
Exactly.
Okay? Here's one. The bottom line for us Christians is love, not political power.
Right.
I get around too many believers, and they're like, oh, my mom, don't listen to me. Right? It's like, because this person won, or this might happen, oh. It's like, look.
What about your face?
The bottom line. Love.
Right.
Bottom line, love. Right? Bottom line, love. Right?
You need a shirt that says, you got milk, you got faith.
Wait,
that's fine.
Yeah. Danny?
Yeah. Look, it's...
That's awesome.
It's more important
yeah.
for our souls
right.
to be filled with love than it is for our political team to win the game. Did you hear what I just said?
No, say it again.
It's more important for our soul to be filled with love
yeah.
than it is for our political team to win the game.
Uh-oh. Always.
Okay.
Or your football team, or your hockey team, yeah. or your
Come
family.
On. Look, just, and here's what I didn't say. I didn't say that, so don't vote. I didn't say it as a, I didn't say that
yeah,
that
yeah,
God doesn't
yeah.
isn't putting people in this race that are important. And we
right.
yes, He right. God has a creative destiny.
Yes, He does.
I'm telling you, right. our hope isn't anchored in that.
Right, right, right. So good.
It's not anchored in that. So. It's like, regardless of what happens, my assignment's the same. Love people, love the person in front of you, right? Vote yes. Care about politics, yes. Care about laws in our nation, yes. But not at the expense of loving people,
right?
Our first assignment is to love. And the moment we see ourselves dishonoring people by disqualifying them from their design, look, everyone in this room, no, everyone, everywhere, right? Even the ones that you think are horrific and lost and tormented and doing bad things, there's a person created in His image who clearly doesn't know who He is, doesn't know God's love for Him, doesn't know what it feels like to be free from torment and pain and suffering and depression and right? That's what I love about Jesus. He saw everybody as what they I don't know, I'll have to ask Him in heaven. But he sees them healed. He in His mind, He sees the most lost person healed. He has a vision of them, what it looks like without their disease, what it looks like without their tormentors. The demons, and that's how he interacted with them. And all the religious people went, right? Like, how dare you touch that
right.
that one?
Right, right,
right. It's like, and because, and he's probably God's probably like, what? They're my kids, right? Any dad or mom who has a lost kid, you can fill in the blank what that means to be lost. You're not giving up hope on the kid.
Right.
Right? So let's just practice our believing. We want our souls just stuffed with love. And that's it. That's our heart, that's our desire. That's my metric, that's all about who I want to be. And from that place, because I'm not a taker, I go into elections like, okay, how do I love? How do I love? How do I love? I don't have to tear anything down. Oh, those so-and-sos. Don't have to do that. Okay? Don't do that. Right? Got it? You're on assignment. So this morning, God, yay for the butt God. Yay for butt gods, because you get the last word. You win. God wins. God, we just thank you for your abundant grace, your unbelievable mercy, God. It just keeps pouring out. God, your great love heals us, it ministers to us. God, it fills us, it sustains us. God, from that place, we walk as your sons and daughters. So this week, we just have your name written on our foreheads, God. We carry your banner wherever we go, God. We walk in that the authority of the King's kids. God, so just that's the place we just want to stay. God, we just want to stay in that place. That's the place of honor. That's true humility, God, and that's where your glory is released. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.